Welcome friends to Literature Mantra. I'm Harsh Singh. In this audio lesson, I'll talk about aestheticism. Now, when we come across the word aestheticism, what is it that comes to mind? The first thing that comes to mind is art for art's sake. In undergrad level, you might have already read about art for art's sake and art for life's sake. But where does this notion of art for art's sake come from? It is something which, you know, is derived from the aesthetic movement or aestheticism. Now, aestheticism was a movement in literature and the various arts. And broadly, what it emphasized is art is self-sufficient and it need not serve any other purpose than its own ends, that writing art for the sake of art. So no didactic or political commitment is required, no propaganda should be done through art, or the art need not have any moral purpose, and art should not be judged on any non-aesthetic standards or using any non-aesthetic standards. If art has to be judged, it should be judged using aesthetic principles, not non-aesthetic principles of morality or ethics. Okay. Now, who were the exponents or practitioners of aestheticism? One important writer is Walter Pater, then Algernon Swinburne, then Oscar Wilde, then Arthur Symons, then Lionel Johnson, then Aubrey Beardsley. And the time when aestheticism was prevalent, or let's say at its peak, was between 1850 to 1900. So the late 19th century is the time frame or the time period in which aestheticism was really popular. And as I said, Oscar Wilde is a practitioner or an exponent of aestheticism or art for art's sake. And one of his important works, The Picture of Dorian Gray, you know, can be regarded as a good example of this kind of art. Means the art based on the principles espoused in aestheticism or that based on art for art's sake. But what were the influences on aestheticism? Aestheticism didn't start on its own. What exactly can be regarded as the starting point? Well, one important influence was of Immanuel Kant's work called The Critique of Judgment. Now, Immanuel Kant said, or he talked about the autonomy of aesthetic standards. So, they should be apart from or aloof from considerations of morality, utility or pleasure. Of course, this is not to say that art need not be for all of this. It can be if the author or the writer thinks that it is appropriate for his work. But these considerations of morality, ethics, utility need not be the only consideration or the biggest consideration in composition of a piece of art or literature. Along with Immanuel Kant, other influences were J.W. von Goethe. Then in Britain, the works of Coleridge and Carlyle are important. And in America, the works of Edgar Allan Poe and Emerson are quite important with respect to aestheticism or art for art's sake. And as I said, Edgar Allan Poe of America is very famous, and especially his theory of writing poetry. For example, you know, there's a famous phrase called heresy of the didactic. Okay, it is his phrase, the heresy of the didactic, in which he says that poetry should be freed from any moral or educational or intellectual considerations. And he talks about the autonomy of poetry for the purpose of writing poetry in the first place. And in England, you know, aestheticism came to be closely identified with the Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood, or the poetry written by the Pre-Raphaelites. Because even the Pre-Raphaelites said that art should have no consideration of morality or ethics necessarily. That should not be the considerations. That should not be the consideration. And instead, art should be written for the sake of art.